It's recording in there, Wes.
And welcome, everybody. It's Katie. I'm back. And it's still, why should your team win? Oh my God, it's been a month and it feels so much longer than that. I hope everyone's been having a good summer. I know I kind of have some off-season blues, but that's, you know, what happens in this game. But I have a very special guest here to talk about draft day, because guess what? He was there. And I think that's super cool. Back for the fourth time is my dear friend, Derek.
Wow, the four-time club.
Yeah.
Jeez.
like I said,
this is fun talking about hockey or stuff. I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, I love it. Like I said, you were there for draft day. Tell me a little bit about that.
So real quickly, every year, the NHL Coaches Association, which is the union basically for head coaches, assistant coaches, goalie coaches, video coaches for the NHL and the AHL. They do a coaching clinic typically around the draft because everybody's already there anyway. So I went down as part of that clinic, and as part of buying your ticket for the clinic, they give you a ticket to the draft. And everybody was really excited because this was the first time that they were actually able to do this live in 3 years because COVID pushed it all online. So everybody was down there. Everybody was excited. And so I wasn't sure I was going to go to the draft originally, but because I knew a couple of people outside of the clinic, I knew a couple of people that were going. And so we were all asking each other, like, you going? Yeah, I'll go if you go. Like, yeah, let's all go. So we all just decided to go. And it was fantastic. So that's why I went.
So can you describe the atmosphere? Because it was like Bedard fever. Were there a lot of Blackhawk jerseys in attendance? Or just something about the atmosphere.
Okay, so the atmosphere itself was great. I don't know if anyone's listening who is not from Nashville, if they've ever gone to Nashville, one, it's a really nice downtown area. It's right off of a river. Their main strip / drag / downtown hang area, I guess, is Broadway. And so they had all that blocked off. They were having outdoor concerts. The people of Nashville in general were really, really cool. Walking around downtown, it was like a really cool party atmosphere. Mm-hmm. Jerseys everywhere, and it was really kind of funny because you see all these people in nice suits and dresses, and you're thinking, like, is this a wedding or a prom or something? Oh wait, no, it's just all the draft kids and their families, and and you just walk around and you literally don't know who you're gonna walk by. You're walking by team administrators and coaches and stuff. Like, and it was just really, really cool. Then you get inside and there's that palpable buzz before everything gets started. Everybody's, because it's draft day, everything's new and fresh and exciting, and you've got hope. So the atmosphere outside and inside the building, it was really a really cool thing to see and be a part of. The funny thing was, like I said, being here in Columbus, I missed the draft when it was in Columbus. At the time, I was in a different part of Ohio, and it was about an hour and a half, maybe 2 hour drive to get there. And I couldn't get anybody to go with me. So I didn't go when the draft was here in Columbus. So I was really happy that I got the opportunity to go in Nashville, because it was a fun time and it was different than what I expected it to be.
Yeah, you know, I think this draft in particular, I mean, people have just been saying Bedard for 2 years straight now. Oh, yeah. So I think that also had a spiciness to it, perhaps.
Well, yes and no. So you mentioned all the Blackhawk stuff, and yes, it was Blackhawk City up in there. So you can't deny that. And then obviously we'll get into it a little bit further, but we were excited about who was going to go 2 and 3, because you had mm-hmm. Carlson and Fantilli. And then the big buzz was also about what was going to happen with Matvei Michkov, the Russian winger. Like you said, there's the buzz because of Bedard, but it wasn't like it was a secret. Like, is he going to go? Like the Shane Wright thing we talked about last year.
Yeah.
Like there was the buzz last year because, wait, is he going to go number one, or is the new guy going to go number one? So there was still that little intrigue about who was actually going to go number one. Like this year, there was no question. So the buzz was there because you had all the Blackhawk fans super excited, just waiting for that moment because they knew that moment was coming. For everybody else, it was, okay, what's going to happen at 2 and 3? And what's mm-hmm. Montreal going to do? So there was just a big, big buzz. It was really kind of cool.
So just a Bedard prediction. Over, under 100 points? Is he going to score 100 in his first year?
Under.
Under?
Under. Because that's really stupid hard. And
well, Crosby Chicago's, did it, right?
I don't know.
I feel like he did something magical his first season.
I mean, possibly. You never know because it's Crosby and he's stupid good. And
Well, I have a tack on to that for predictions, you know. So like when Sid in his first 1-2 years in the league, he had a really big chip on his shoulder, and he also, because he had such a target on his back.
Oh, yeah. Think
Bedard's going to have a target on his back?
Not as big. And actually, you're right. Crosby did have over 100 in his first 2 years. I think the big difference for me with what Bedard can do is, A, he's in a really tough division, and who is he playing with on his line? You know what I mean? Like, his teammates matter. And
yeah,
that's hard. That's lofty. Like if he can come anywhere close to that. And the other reason I say under is you look at some of the stars, like the big name stars that we have now, and it's so hard to hit 100.
Yeah. MacKinnon finally did it the first time in his career.
Yeah.
You know,
That's just hard. But then to your point, as far as the target on his back, I think you're always going to get that, but I don't think he's going to get it as bad as Crosby got it. One, because as hyped as Bedard was, the hype wasn't Crosby level hype. And then also the Metro. So between the Rangers and the Islanders and the Flyers and the Devils, you're just getting your butt kicked almost every week because those teams just hate each other. And I don't think he's going to have to run that hard a gauntlet when you're dealing with Detroit, who, you know, they're going to be better, but I don't think they're mean and nasty like, you know, those other teams. St. Louis is always going to be big, mean, and nasty. So, you know, that's whatever. But I don't think Nashville is going to be a problem. So I don't think he'll have to get the Crosby treatment this year just because he's not going to have that interdivisional just, you know.
Yeah. And I think if he does, I mean, you saw him at the combine. The guy's a tank.
Oh, yeah.
So I think he'll take it all in stride and just have fun his first year. And considering Chicago's in a rebuild, but.
Plus a slight difference in that Crosby being a center, mm-hmm. where Bedard's a wing, he's not going to be asked to have all the responsibility that Crosby had to come in with being a center. That's another slight little difference. You hear guys talk all the time, like even if they project to be a center, it's easier to start off on the wing because, you know, it's a little bit easier, but Bedard's a natural wing where, like I said, mm-hmm. Crosby walking in the door was walking in straight up as a center. So that's going to help it Bedard a little bit as well.
Okay, so moving on from that guy. Good luck. So Anaheim took Leo Carlson at number two. And let's talk about your other favorite team, the Columbus Blue Jackets. Adam Fantilli, number three. Tell me about
it. So this is a funny story, and we'll have lots of them. So yes, Blue Jacket fan. And we, as Columbus fans, because nothing nice happens to Columbus. We didn't expect to get the number one pick. And then, you know, to find out we were number three by accident, you know, on a throwaway line or whatever. Like, it was just like, okay, beat on poor Columbus. And then to figure that we were number three, because we literally, most of the season, had our hopes and eyes set on Adam Fantilli. And then to drop down to number three, we're like, oh my God, we're going to lose the consolation prize, like the kid that we all wanted. And so there is a slight like 5 or 6 second delay between live and television. So of course I'm at the draft and I'm texting all my buddies. And you know, we're all going like, who do you think you got? Who do you think you got? And so there was always that talk, Carlson or Fantilli, Carlson or Fantilli. And everybody still said, oh, Fantilli's got to be the number two guy, but you never know. And I had my heart set like, oh man, we're going to lose Fantilli. And I'm talking to the guys, you know, sitting next to me. And when Anaheim picked Carlson, I absolutely cheered. If I could have jumped out of my seat, I would. But I couldn't because, you know, walking boot. But I was super excited. And it was funny because I'm like, yes, Columbus gets their guy, which brings me to the second funny story. Because, you know, you're not just there with everybody online, or I shouldn't say online, but watching at home, you know, you see the kid, you know, stand up, you see the girlfriend, the sister, the mom, the dad, the brother, the family, the immediate family, when the kid gets up and all of that. Maybe you get a shot or two of somebody in the crowd, like if they have a sign, or maybe he's got, you know, some fans or whatever. We're sitting in, you know, the upper deck of Bridgestone Arena, and immediately to my left is an entire section of Adam Fantilli friends and family. And they're all wearing Adam Fantilli jerseys and t-shirts. And I mean, when I say like, it's a section, I'll have to send you the pictures. It's a section of people. So I'm cheering. And then I look up and I hear them clapping, and I'm like, they're really happy too. And it didn't make sense until the announcement, and then to see them explain, like, oh, they're just as happy as I was that Carlson went to Anaheim, because they also wanted Fantilli to go to Columbus. Mm-hmm. So yeah, that was a really, really cool moment to be up and cheering, you know, along with his family and friends that were there.
Just a little bit about Adam Fantilli, Hobey Baker winner.
Yeah. As a freshman.
Yeah, that's very rare. I mean, there's a very short list of freshman Hobey Baker winners.
Yep.
I always hate it when a player only plays 1 year in college, though. That always like irks me. But the rest of his resume, I'm like, okay. Do you think he's going to hit the ground running when he gets to Columbus?
Yes. I mean, that's the hope. Like I said, if Bedard wasn't the guy, we absolutely wanted Adam Fantilli, just because we thought if there's another guy that's NHL ready to come in and help the team, it would be him, because Carlson may or may not play in the NHL this season. Maybe he goes back, you know, to Sweden for another year and then comes back over. There was very little question, as you pointed out, with Adam Fantilli's resume, like the kid was ready. And you talk about another kid who's built like a tank, you know, with some of these kids that get drafted, and you hear them like, oh, they're a super high pick, but they're going to go to college for a year, you know, and it's mostly, again, to age up, mature, build their body out, because some of these kids are going at 18 or 19 years old. So the year away at college, you know, isn't the bad thing, like Fantilli, because he's so young. He's draft age as a college freshman. Like, that's rare.
Was it University of Michigan?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So to have somebody who's draft eligible as a freshman and be that good, like, yeah, yeah, no. And so it really was, from what I understand, kind of a back and forth about whether or not he was going to go back to Michigan for a second year or come out to Columbus. But I guess after talking to his family and talking to his coaches at Michigan, they decided, yeah, go. And Yarmo Kekalainen was just like, yeah, no, dude, like, yeah, you're ready. Like, you know, yeah, if you want to go back, fine, but you're good to go.
If you win as a freshman, you get a pass. Like, just, you're good.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was why there was so much hope to get Fantilli, because, like I said, if there was anybody in the top four or five that we knew was NHL body ready and could come over, you know, or not could come over, but, you know, could be ready to go, it was Fantilli, because that's Matvei Michkov. Like, he's a Russian. He's 3 years away. Carlson, he might go back to Sweden for another year. Will Smith, I think, went fourth, and there was a question about what he was going to do. So, like, getting an NHL-ready player is incredible. And, yeah, we'll see if he can hit the ground running. And there's lots of options for him as far as where they could play him. So it'll be interesting to see.
Well, that's all I have about for draft. Do you have any other stories or any little things to add on draft?
So 2 and 3 were the really exciting parts as far as let me go back. So there's always that draft day cliche where they say the draft starts at X, because there's always that curveball that gets thrown. You know, everybody kind of knows who the top, you know, couple of players are, and then there's always that curveball, right? Mm-hmm. So walking into the draft, everybody kind of understood the top four is going to be Bedard, Carlson, Fantilli, Smith in some order. The order might be a little jumbled depending on who does what, but that's going to be your top four. And then the buzz was, and I mentioned this a little bit earlier, the draft starts at 5, because what's Montreal going to do? And then it's funny, because one of the guys I'm sitting next to was a Montreal fan. And so they were all wondering if they were going to take Matvei Michkov, who, like I said, was the other big name in this draft. If he wasn't Russian, he probably would have been the number 2 pick, like, in terms of pure talent and projection. Like, he was that skilled. Even as much as I'm sitting here gushing over Fantilli, like, the consensus was, or I should say the consensus, but a lot of the talk was Michkov on pure skill and talent would probably be number 2. But he's A, Russian, so that's in and of itself a little thing. But then B, because he's got a 3-year contract with his Russian team, that was the other thing. Like, you're drafting a guy that might not come over for at least 3 seasons. And so people were thinking, well, Montreal could do it. A, they're not afraid of taking Russians. And B, with where they are, you know, in their timeline, like, 3 years isn't that big a deal. And then Montreal didn't pick him. And so that was kind of like the first, whoa, you know, in the crowd.
Yeah.
And so that was that. And then I forget at the moment who was picking 6. And well, then
just sorry to interrupt, but David Reinbacher was chosen by Montreal.
Yes.
And he received thousands upon thousands of hate mail from Montreal fans. And there was also
about that.
Yeah.
That's the other thing that happened. I'm sorry, go ahead.
And then there was Carey Price mispronounced his name. Did I mispronounce his name?
Oh. No, you said it right. Carey Price forgot his name, and it was such an awkward moment, and I felt so bad because it was so awkward.
Like, Carey, you had one job.
Well, and not even that. And so I feel bad for Carey, not just because it was embarrassing, but because that moment can absolutely happen to anybody. It's one thing playing in front of thousands of people because you're playing the game. When you're playing a sport like you've played, at some point, everybody outside of the playing field, the rink, the court, whatever, the people go away because you're playing the game. When you are up and speaking and, you know, everybody's looking at you, like, that's hard. And because he only had the one job. And so I can only imagine, like you said, there were people who couldn't quite pronounce his name. So in his mind, like, is it Reinbacher, Reinbacher, Reinbacher? Is it Ryan this? And so I can imagine, like, now you're getting that cycle in your head of feedback, of doubt. And then it's like, well, screw it. I've just got to go up. Oh, crap. It's time to go up. So he immediately comes out with David, and then he freezes. And it now, because you're stuck in that moment, because, and you can't break it because now you're thinking about it. And it's just like, it's one thing for anybody to say, yeah, you had one job and how could you mess this up? But as somebody who absolutely hates public speaking, like, that's the cycle. That's how you get trapped in your own head. And the only thing I could think of when I saw that moment was, why didn't you just give him a card?
Yeah.
Why? Because they had all these guys coming. They were pulling all these people out, you know, to do special announcements or whatever. And I'm just thinking, for just this type of moment, for just this type of situation, what's the harm in giving the guy a 3x5 note card with the player's name on it? Because it's not like this type of situation hasn't happened before. In the very first episode, you had me and we talked about the Flyers and we talked about Bob Clark forgetting Claude Giroux's name. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, this type of stuff happens. So for that moment, like, I felt horrible, horrible for Carey Price, because I can absolutely understand how something like that happens. And
yeah, everyone's going to forget about it as soon as preseason hits. So
yeah. Yeah. And he reached out to him and Reinbacher was cool about it. And like, yeah, that it goes away. The hate mail messaging thing I didn't hear about. And again, that's probably in part because, you know, the rumors, the whispers, the you know, the speculators, the, you know,
yeah,
they're all linking Michkov to Montreal. And then it doesn't happen. So then, you know.
Yeah.
And then for the Flyers to take him was like another big, holy crap, they actually did it. Like, I could not believe that they did it. I'm happy, but I could not believe that they actually pulled the trigger and did that. So that was another big gasp moment. As far as for the rest of the draft, so fun ambiance, fun atmosphere. There's I think it's 5 minutes in between each pick as far as like how much time they have. So you can work on deals and trades and whatever and whatnot. And so the thinking is, man, it's going to be boring sitting there for 5 minutes waiting for these people to, you know, make their picks and whatnot. But actually it goes pretty quickly because while they're not playing commercials in the arena, they are playing interviews and they're posting like vignettes. So like when every new team that comes on the clock, they play a short video about the team and the season and the city and whatever, like a little hype video. And that was kind of cool. And then when the draft picks are getting picked, doing their interviews, like they play that through the arena. When they talk to the GMs about the pick, they play that through the arena. So it moves pretty quickly. Surprisingly through the early parts of the draft, the end of the draft, it does kind of drag a little bit because you fall into that rhythm and then it's like the same thing and like, okay, team name, wait 5 minutes, team walks up, waits 30 seconds, makes their pick, wait for the kid. And yeah, it's just that cycle. So by the end of the draft, you're kind of tired. And the bummer, the one bummer for me and my buddies was this was the first time I think they said in 16 years that they didn't have a trade in the first round. And that's all we wanted. We just wanted to be there for a cool trade. We wanted to hear ooh and ah and gasp at the big deal. Nothing. Boop kiss. First time in 16 years, no trade.
Well, speaking of trades, you know, the offseason I mentioned, I have like offseason blues where you're like, you just want hockey back and stuff. And but what I love the most about offseason are like the shocking, the surprise, the surprise and the rumors. Yeah. You know, so like Wheeler got dealed out of Winnipeg. He's a Ranger now. Yep. I'm just listing my top ones. Rumors. Where's Erik Karlsson going? Tarasenko not re-signing with the Rangers. Where is he going?
Yeah.
Pat Maroon is a Minnesota Wild. DeBrincat to Detroit. And who else? Oh, and then for my personally, Erik Johnsson is a Buffalo Sabre. He was a longtime Avalanche player. So that's going to be freaky seeing him in a Buffalo jersey. But that's what I love about the offseason. Has anything come out to you or popped for you?
So I have a really weird coincidence in that Ivan Provorov, formerly of the Flyers, got traded to the Columbus Blue Jackets. Mm-hmm. And then is it Damon Severson? Went from New Jersey to the Blue Jackets. So Columbus, they needed help on defense. That was obvious. So made some big deals there. And I think Provorov will be good in Columbus. It'll be good, A, for change of scenery. B, he won't have to be the top guy because we have Werenski. And even if they end up playing together, which I don't think they will, even then, like, that's not a terrible top pair. So Jarmo shoring up the defense a little bit. And then we've got that influx of rookies. Nothing for Philadelphia. I mean, outside of Provorov. I mean, quick. Kevin Hayes. Go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, well, real quick, back to
Columbus.
Columbus. Turd McGee is your head coach now. Sorry, I mean Mike Babcock.
I'll reserve judgment. But okay, so let's go there. Do you want to go there?
Well, I'm just, you know, why are we giving him chance after chance? Okay, hear me out. He is 12th all time in wins as a coach, over 700 career wins. But what's the deal with his mind games? Do you agree with his coaching behind the coaching style that he does, the players, the mind games?
So this is interesting. And let's do a deep dive, because this will all tie back in together. That's the question. So Babcock has always been known as an old school hard case type coach. And before, you know, us and the listeners roll their eyes at the term old school, as you said, he's been around long enough to amass a massive track record. When you've been coaching in the NHL for nearly three decades, like, okay, old school pretty much qualifies as a definition. And that's the thing, is that times have changed, players have changed, people have changed. And so the stuff that he could do in Anaheim, because he had a veteran team, you don't hear anything bad about his time in Anaheim. You hear very little about his time in Detroit, except for, you know, the one issue. And I'm blanking on the player's name, and I apologize for that.
Chelios, probably.
No, it wasn't Chelios.
Commodore? I want to say Mike Commodore. Helm,
or I know Commodore doesn't like him, but Commodore doesn't like a lot of people. But there was, you know, there was the issue that he had with the one player and the abuse there. And then everybody knows the story about him and Marner and the mind game. And like, there's a lot to unpack there. That said, the coaching clinic, the conference that I was at in Ann Arbor, he was there. He was there the 2 years I went. I didn't talk to him much. I got to meet him and I got an autograph 2 years ago. And then I spoke with him briefly again this year. But this year, he was there at the conference to talk about the gold medal game from the Olympics. But after they were done...
That 2010?
Yeah, I believe so.
The golden goal from Crosby.
Yes. Okay. Yes. And afterwards, so he's doing this panel with Elliot Friedman. And so they talk about the gold medal game. But after they're done talking about the gold medal game, they go into the situation with Toronto and what the future holds and blah, blah, blah. And it's a big nudge, nudge, wink, wink joke because this was before July 1st. So everybody knew he was going to Columbus. They hadn't announced it yet because technically speaking, he was under contract with Toronto, but they addressed it. And he mentioned that taking 3 years off away from hockey at the pro level did him some good. He talked about how his daughter basically cussed him out, you know, for the way it ended in Toronto. He talked about coaching with his son, Michael Babcock, at Canadian University because he wanted to go back and deal with younger players because he felt he needed that exposure. So he's openly talked about taking a look inward and recognizing what he's done in the past versus what he can or can't do in the present. Mm-hmm. Will he change? Can he change? That's all anybody can hope for and wait to see. Can he change? Will he change? To that point, there were three things that came out during the time of his announcement and press conference for him going to the Blue Jackets. And that is that one, he wasn't sure he was going to get another chance to coach. And it was, I believe, Lindy Ruff, if I'm not mistaken. And then the other one was literally Ken Hitchcock. Two guys that he coached with at the Olympic team, like his two closest coaching friends. And they both told him, like, no, you should try to go back. You should try to get back in. And Hitchcock was the one who told him, hey, if Columbus calls, you should go. So Hitchcock, another quote-unquote old school coach, told him that he would do well in Columbus. And John Tortorella, who after his big giant flame out in Vancouver, did good work in Columbus. So there was, he recognized, like, this is a lifeline slash quote-unquote last chance.
I think that's how we're all seeing it, yeah.
And then you look at his contract, and that's the last thing I'll say. His contract is only 2 years. Mm-hmm. Granted, he's making a lot of money, but his contract is only 2 years. And so when they announced that and somebody at the press conference asked, why is it only 2 years? It's like, because everybody understands, like, if this goes bad, like, you're done. You're gone.
Yeah.
Like,
it's
this
better not
this has to work
for him.
Or, and that's the thing. So he doesn't have, it's not even one of those things where it's like, oh, he's got a 4-year deal or a 5-year deal and they fire him in year two, but he sits back and collects his money. Like, no. This is a 2-year deal. If something goes south, he's got no parachute like he did for 3 years living off of Toronto's dime. You know what I mean? Like, this is all but literally last chance for him. Can he do it? He's saying the right things. You know, the proof is in the pudding when it comes down to actually doing it.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, I think Columbus has a lot of potential. I mean, number three, you still got Johnny Gaudreau, and hopefully you guys don't have that injury plagued season like last year.
Yeah.
And we also mentioned Kirill Marchenko, who had a hot streak last season. So hopefully we see big things from him. And you were mentioning the young guys getting called up. I think there's David Juracek.
Yeah.
And so, then Alexander Texier.
Texier. Yep.
Texier.
So, yep. So Columbus, Columbus is very, very young. We've got some talent, but it's all young. Very reminiscent of what Montreal was a couple of years ago, where they were young and nobody really expected much from them. And then all of a sudden, like, the talent started playing well under St. Louis. you know, everybody's ears perked up about Columbus when Johnny Gaudreau went there. And obviously we still have Patrick Laine, but a lot of the team is very, very young. And there are going to be some players that are either traded or buried in the minors or even maybe waived, because there's a lot of players signed to NHL contracts there that then there are people who are on the roster. So there are roster positions to be had for lots of players, for lots of people. And I will say this, I don't know how much longer we're going to keep going. But we had development camp here for Columbus. Well, all the teams had their development camps last week, but Columbus, we got our first look at Adam Fantilli, and yeah, dude's capable. So yeah. We're really, really, really excited. And there is one last draft tidbit, and it does tie into Columbus. I wasn't there for that because I only got to see day one. But day two, there is a quote unquote new fan favorite in Columbus. And his name is David Peddle, Tyler okay. Peddle, Tyler Peddle. Okay. He was the very last draft pick of the draft this year.
Okay, and yeah, I read about him.
He stayed for the entirety of the draft. So he was there to hear his name called. And then the funny thing was that I believe the Jackets traded for that draft pick because they wanted him. They saw he was on the board and they actually made a trade to get the last pick of the draft and drafted the kid. And he was there. So everybody was marveling, like, oh my God, the kid's there. Like,
yeah,
you know, how cool is that? And so they talked to him about being there. He's like, it was important to be there. It was important to stay, to see it through. And all I was hoping for was one team to take a chance, and that team took a chance. And I'm going to thank them and make them not regret that chance. So like hearing that, the whole story, like his outlook, like that quote, like, yeah, everybody super excited for the kid. So he was the other big, you know, quote unquote, big name at the development camp because, you know, we love that type of stuff as sports fans, but mm-hmm. when you're a quote unquote small market team and, you know, everybody craps on Columbus and nobody wants to be there or play there and it's a boring city, blah, 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 blah. But then you get, you know, Fantilli. Did you see the video that got posted after the draft of Fantilli? It was, I forget where he was, but NHL.com was doing something on the draft. And they were asking players questions about the draft upcoming and where would you want to go? And so there's a video out there of Adam Fantilli. And they asked him, like, if you could get drafted by a team, like, where do you think you'd want to go? And Adam Fantilli says he wanted to be a Blue Jacket. He wanted to get drafted by Columbus, in part because he heard good things, and he heard good things because there's a lot of Michigan alums there. Mm-hmm. So he wanted to be a Blue Jacket. That's why everybody was so happy that the Jackets were able to get him. So you tie that Peddle. I'm happy the Jackets drafted me. I'm not going to let him regret it. Juracek gets drafted. He kisses the crest on the jersey. Like, we're excited about our young kids because it seems like they all want to be there. So that's awesome.
And I, you know, I'm really hoping you guys have a better season than last season. I think there's the only way out is up. And I think you guys will you guys won't be basement dwellers, but,
that's the hope.
Yeah. I don't think you'll be bottom four.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
We don't think so.
Knocking on wood. Yeah. I'm still knocking on wood. I'll just keep
we'll see how the goaltending shapes out. But yeah, the hope is that at least if we just stay healthy, goodness gracious.
But yeah, let's end with just a little bit of Philadelphia Flyers talk.
Sure.
Trotz is still the head coach, yeah?
Not Torts.
Torts. Sorry, Trotz.
Yeah, Trotz. Yes. Torts is still the coach.
You guys got Mark Stahl for a year.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Oliver Bonk.
Bonk. Bonk.
And like they all the news on him is just like he's got a mullet just like his dad.
Yep.
So I think it's cute. And like you said, they got Batiev at number 7, the Russian kid.
Yep.
So, then you were talking about Kevin Hayes a little bit. You want to?
Yep. So he got drafted. Sorry. He got traded. So, I mean, Danny Briere, we're full on rebuild. We're full on, you know, Anaheim, Chicago, Buffalo, Edmonton. Just, all right, let's not quite strip it down, but yeah, let's go in on the youth movement. So yeah, I mean, not to poo-poo Mark Stahl, but we all know what it is. He's a veteran defenseman because you have to have a veteran. You can't have a bunch of kids. And he understands what his role is going to be with the team to mentor the young defenseman coming in. And really, I get the impression that they just want to see what they've got with the kids that they have. Oliver Bonk, they don't know if he's going to play another year in junior. That's right now the thought process, but who knows what happens at a camp, you know what I mean? And then what happens during the season, there's still a bunch of trade chips. The current scuttlebutt is, will they or won't they trade Carter Hart, which will be a huge, I won't say huge deal. It'll be a big deal if they move in. The same thing with Travis Konechny. The Flyers will be.
Yeah. Well, he had a good season last year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they'll be nothing but interesting this year. Good or bad, who knows? They'll be interesting all year long. And so that's the thing with Konechny. There's reason to trade him because he's good and you can get a good deal for him. But he's also one of the type of guys that you keep because he wants to be there. He knows what time it is. He knows what the deal is and he doesn't care. He wants to be there. And that's always one of these things when you're talking about tanking or rebuilding, whatever you want to call it, you need A, people who want to be there, and B, you need veterans. So to have a veteran who wants to be there, even through what is obviously going to be a tough time, sure, on one hand, we can make ourselves better by trading him. On the other hand, for culture, you kind of need those types of players. You know what I mean? So he's going to be an interesting case. Same thing with Scott Laughton. He's a third line center who can play up and down your lineup. And he's the type of guy that's valuable that everybody's looking for come trade deadline when you're looking to make a run in the playoffs. But he's another guy that, do you keep him because he's good for that locker room, or do you trade him because he can make your team better with, you know, draft picks and young players, young prospects. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Briere's got some decisions to make, and it'll be interesting to see how John Tortorella factors in on all of this, because he's usually not been a guy who's been too keen on a young team and having a team full of kids, but it's everything I've heard and read. And he said, like, he likes this opportunity to mold a young team. So he doesn't seem to be too upset about the direction of the team. You know what I mean? So it'll be nothing but interesting in Flyer land.
Yeah. Well, who do you think is more likely to make the playoffs next year, Columbus or Philly?
Oh God, if it's between the two, Columbus.
Yeah.
I know last year I was excited and I said Columbus could make the playoffs. I'm kind of tempering that a little bit this year.
Yeah.
But of the two,
we were all excited for Columbus last year, though. I think there was a lot of buzz for them.
So there was a lot of buzz because they had a decent team. They didn't finish too far out of the playoffs the year prior.
Yeah.
Then you added Gaudreau and it was just like, oh my goodness, there's an opportunity here. And then the injuries. My reason for tempering is one, well, last year, but two, a lot of teams have gotten better. Buffalo is a lot better. Detroit's gotten a lot better. Like, getting out of that Eastern Conference is going to be bananas. It's going to be nuts. So it's going to be a really difficult to get out of you know, the East out of that top eight, like, because you still have Boston and
New Jersey was the hottest team in the East last year. Well, one of the best.
Right. The Rangers, the Canes, like, those teams are not bad. And then, like I said, the teams that I mentioned, Detroit and Buffalo, got better. Ottawa's
had a hot streak too.
So it's going to be so tough. It's going to be tough.
Well, Derek, that's all I got. Thanks so much for telling me about your draft day and telling me about these teams. It's been so long since I've hockey talked. So
I know. I was excited when you called. I was like, yes, let's talk. And no, it was great. And yeah, this off season, I don't know if you're like me, I felt like it was quieter than normal. Like, there were names that moved and there's rumors, but there wasn't like the big, whoa, the big, oh my gosh. It's not, it's like there was, you know, just business.
Exactly. There's always like the, you know, when PK got traded out of Montreal and everyone's jaw drops the floor. I haven't felt that yet. You know, I know. For me, I think Carlson, wherever he signs, is going to be a big.
That'll be a big
news cycle. And then also, I think Tarasenko, where is he going? You know, so I don't. But we'll see. There's still a couple weeks left before everything gets going. So we'll see.
You got it.
All right. Thanks,
thank you, Derek, so much.
Bye.